So I'm not getting to talk about what I do very much, and I've somehow ended up getting to be your friendly neighbourhood careers advisor for space today. So we'll see how we go. And we've got a lot to get through. I may not get through all of it, but we will see what happens. So I've tried to be funny and punny with how do I launch a career into space. You can giggle later. Thank you. All right, so let's get started. Raise of hands, who has thought about at any point or still wants to or maybe dreams about it quietly in their rooms? Who wants to be an astronaut? Raise of hands. Yeah, I was hoping someone would put their hand up because then we'd be in trouble. So there are several ways that you can become an astronaut, but you might be looking a bit like this, thinking, what do I do? So there are a couple of ways to become an astronaut. You can buy a ticket, be a tourist, go with SpaceX, go with Boeing, go with Virgin Galactic. I'm trying to remember all my names here. You can participate in a very exciting but questionable competition like Mars One, or you can go through an agency like NASA, through Roscosmos, through the Chinese Space Agency. You have to be a citizen of those countries. Or you can become a commercial astronaut. And the way that commercial astronauts work is that it is really expensive to train astronauts. So essentially, what will happen is these astronauts will already be trained. So if someone needs to hire a scientist or an engineer to do a specific task in space, it's already paid for pretty much, so they can send them up. And that's what I'm trying to do, and that's what quite a few people in the room are actually trying to do now. In terms of becoming an agency astronaut, currently you need to have a bachelor's degree in science or engineering. Those are the rules. Hopefully that will change. They did do a teaching program years ago with NASA, but unfortunately after one of the shuttle disasters, that was closed down. Unfortunately with NASA, I haven't actually checked the ESA ruling, so maybe someone who's worked for ESA recently can let me know. Unfortunately, if you've had treatment for a mental illness or are currently getting treated, you are disqualified from becoming an agency astronaut. And that could be problematic. It could stop people from seeking treatment if they want to become an astronaut, but that's a whole other topic. Hopefully those will change. We don't have the same sort of rules in commercial astronaut training, but you still need to be mentally sound. You still need to be ready to go. What it comes down to, if you want to become an astronaut, you might have the best resume, you might be the perfect candidate, but it comes down essentially to two things. The first one is, do you have the skills that they need for that specific mission? They might need an engineer for a very specific piece of equipment on the International Space Station. They might need a doctor for that mission. If you're not one of those, it's unfortunate, but that's just the timing. The other one, which is, how do you figure this one out? I haven't figured this one out. You just got to hope that you're a likable person. Because it's just, do I want to go to space with you? That's it. That's what it comes down to. If it's between you and another candidate, this is mostly agency selection. It's just, do I like you or not, pretty much. Are you going to be good to go with in an isolated space for a long time? Are you going to be annoying? Are you going to freak out in certain situations? Are you just going to go on everyone's nerves? Or do you just not fit in with the current dynamic of the astronauts that are up in whatever mission you're going on at the time? That's it. What if you're a scientist or an engineer? So we're going to move ahead. There's plenty of other careers, obviously. Otherwise, what would we all be doing? This is Vera Rubin, who discovered dark matter. Pretty badass, I think, for a woman. Or just for any scientist, actually. That's pretty amazing, right? So if you're a scientist or an engineer, engineering is a pretty good field to be in because there's a lot of engineering jobs in space, but they're very, very competitive. And unfortunately, a lot of those jobs are in the US, and you need to be an American citizen because of the military, I've lost for words. So you have to have a certain security clearance. They don't want to share all their space secrets. Everybody knows what's going up in space. What's that about? Oh, and if you're a scientist, you've got lots of pathways. You can go through university, get your PhD, stay in a lab there. You could start your own lab, or you could go get a postdoc at one of the space agencies. The European Space Agency and NASA have some really awesome postdoc opportunities. Still very competitive, but if you've got a pretty cool project or a pretty cool idea, or you've made some good friends over there, it's a good place to be. These are just some of the companies that are active in Australia at the moment. Most of these are only hiring engineers and computer scientists. I really encourage everyone, despite their background, to learn a little bit of coding. Like, it's very, very valuable. You might, if you get stuck for a job but you can code, you might get some part-time work. It's just a really valuable skill. That's one thing I definitely encourage. What if you're not a scientist or an engineer? What if you don't even like those fields? What do you do then? Well, fortunately, space, there's roles for everyone. They need retail assistants. I met a girl who loves cake, but she also loves space. So her goal is to become the person who creates cake that you can eat in space. That's it. That's all she wants. Because the meals that they eat on the International Space Station, they're not that great. She wants to be able to eat something really good when she goes up there. But the thing that I'm finding with these sorts of roles, actually Alice Gorman is a really good example of this. She's a scientist, but she's in a more humanities field. She's paved her way as Dr. Space Junk. She's proved it can be done. A lot of the people that I've seen working in these creative arts-based fields, they've gone out, they've found the opportunities themselves, and it's a big struggle for a long time, but it's worth it. And that's the one thing that it comes down to. It's always worth it. So I wanted to touch very briefly on what it's like to be a woman in the space industry. The stats currently say that only 25% of women make up the aerospace industry. What that covers is still a little bit vague, depending on what report you look at. Maybe they're only looking at engineering and scientists in certain companies. Those reports aren't very comprehensive. But what's more troubling is when we look at those, when we pull those stats apart a bit more and start looking at individual fields, so electronics engineer, astrophysicists and things like that, that's when there's less and less women. So overall, there's 25% roughly, but when we look at those individual fields, we're looking at 15%, 17.5%. And unfortunately, that hasn't really changed in the last few years, despite efforts that have been made in the space industry. And yes, there is absolutely issues of sexual harassment in the space industry, which is unfortunate. The astronomy sector a few years ago got caught up in this. I'm not going to go into it because it's a whole bit of a conversation. And it's something that really needs to be worked on. But there are things happening. But on the other hand of that is that people are overwhelmingly supportive as well. I have amazing female role models in the space industry. And the women there, just they want to help you out. So if you do get in a situation, if you're finding yourself working in the sector and you get a bit stuck, reach out to someone, reach out to a woman who's working there, and I can guarantee you almost entirely they'll be willing to help. What if you're Indigenous? Or what if you're a person of colour? Or what if you're non-binary? What if you're disabled? These are all issues that are overlooked in the aerospace industry, and they need to be fleshed out a bit more. We need to build policy around that. But there are people from all these groups that are working in the industry. There are people, there's a black woman who works for SpaceX who I'm very good friends with. She's killing it. Like, she's doing amazingly. But what I've tried to interview a few people before this, and what most of them said is that you've got to not focus on the barriers. You've got to focus on the opportunities. And whether that's making your own opportunities, talking to people and creating opportunities within the workplace, that's what you've got to focus on. These are a couple of sites, organisations, if you're not quite sure where to start. So if you're a young person under 35 or a student, the Australian Youth Aerospace Association is a really good start, as is the Space Generation Advisory Council. And I'm not saying you have to love them. I'm not saying they have to be for you, but they're an excellent place to start. They do some awesome things, and they'll definitely guide you in the right direction. But if you're not a young person, and even if you are a young person, you can look at these places too. You're not limited. International Space University runs some great executive programs regardless of your background. Mark and I did a course with them that was, there were artists there, there were doctors, there were lots of people. Lots and lots of people. But I noticed when I was trying to come up with this, and a lot of people asked me, where do I start with the space industry? So yesterday, I registered this domain, and it's not active yet, but in the next couple of weeks, I'm going to put this up And try and put everything up there for where you can go for ideas of support or organisations that you can reach out to for information, or if you're not sure on what career you want to take, etc., etc. Quokka Space. If you just Google Quokka Space, that's a good that does a similar sort of thing, but I'm hoping this one will be a bit more comprehensive. And I was supposed to talk to what's life before and after the Australian Space Agency. So very, very quickly, I hope some people get that. Like, Scott Kelly went to space and grew 2 inches. So when he, yeah, okay. So before and after, not a lot has changed, but also a lot has changed. So I could go into the reason why, the efforts that were made around the space agency to begin with, but what I think is really important right now is that everyone here is in a very unique opportunity to start showing the Australian space sector what sort of space activities we want to happen in Australia. So you've got cool ideas for projects, you've got a field that you want to work in, start doing it, because in a couple of years' time when they're looking at policy developments and funding or allocating resources, if you've already got something in the works, that's a pretty good place to be. So that's just something to think about. So I feel like I've rushed through that, probably babbled a lot, gone over time. Thanks.